Blog Talk Radio.
Well, poop train intro.
Oh, you have it right here. You want me to play it?
Yeah. Lisa, thank you so much for calling into the Truth Train today to listen in. We have an exciting guest today, and this guest is somebody that I haven't spoken with for a little while, but she always remains on my heart, my mind. She's a great Christian lady and a friend of mine, and we used to actually do some shows together. Her name is Miss Sheila Zielinski, and from reading a post on her Facebook page recently, I discovered that she has authored a book. And because she is an intelligent Christian woman, it's something that I definitely want to know more about, and I think that you'd probably be interested in the listening audience as well. So, Sheila, are you there?
I am, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we've talked. How have you been?
I've been very busy.
I was going to say, I can't believe you got a book published. That's awesome.
Yes, things have been really busy, and I'm doing some speaking engagements. So, of course, then I do my one-hour daily show as well, so and syndicated. So, yeah, it's been a busy, busy couple of months for sure. But now the book is officially on Amazon. It's out. And so at least I can put that to bed for a little while.
Wow, I didn't know you were syndicated too. That's great.
Yeah, well, it's lots and lots of, it's lots of work when you're doing all this research and you're doing a daily broadcast and, you know, trying to firm up a book. It's a lot of work, but, you know, it's really about advancing God's kingdom. So, hey, I mean, somebody had to cover the green gospel because no one else is really getting into this insidious underbelly of the green agenda. So, and of course, we see the Pope really making a move. He's going to be coming to the U.S. this September, and then a really big climate change move in Paris in at the end of September, and then again in December. So, you know, what's a Pope? When did he become a climatologist, Lisa?
You know, this new Pope is, he's a little scary to me. I mean, he's trying to be so likable and approachable and changing his outfit and changing the throne and admitting that, you know, pedophilia is wrong for priests. Well, duh. You know, and just trying to basically smooth over all the wrongs that people have with Catholicism and, you know, present himself as a great leader. Well, I've heard stories of him, you know, backing the one world monetary system, one world government, I mean, the green agenda, all kinds of things. He's right in line with the Illuminati and their wishes, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Pope is really an insidious character, and yet he's, you know, Time Magazine's Man of the Year, People's Man of the Year. It's incredible. And when he stepped in and took over Pope Benedict, in 2013, I was surprised when a papal conclave elected George Marian Bergoglio as his successor. Now, that's his name, George Marian Bergoglio. And of course, you know, he goes by the name of Saint Francis of Assisi, basically. That's who he took his papal title after. So he's really trying to be this very benevolent kind of guy. Of course, we know that St. Francis of Assisi was he was actually from Italy, and he was the founder of the Franciscan Order, the Friars Minor. And it's interesting because Pope Francis is actually the first Jesuit pope. So, you know, that's a whole show on its own. But no, this guy's very nefarious. This is the same guy that says that he wants to be baptizing aliens, and, you know, they are involved in some very strange conversations, and as well as, you know, atheists, they're just good to go to heaven. I mean, this guy's theology is way off, but the fact that he's putting his moral authority behind the United Nations and this green agenda is quite alarming.
Alarming is a great word. I find it disturbing, to say the least, and I've been kind of watching him from afar, and I haven't done a ton of research, but I've been wanting to. But I keep on seeing these articles popping up about, you know, things that he's saying that's just lining up with the new old order. And I'm like, wow, you know, I've always thought the Antichrist would come, in a position like his, where it'd be revered and respected and loved, and all these things he's doing. Didn't he also do something on the homosexual agenda as well?
Well, he's basically saying, you know, who am I to judge if someone's gay? Well, you're the Pope. You're supposed to judge. What are you talking about? The Bible's very clear on the sodomite agenda. And so, you know, he's really kind of one of those fence sitters. He's just kind of a gutless, spineless weasel, really, is what he is. And he just kind of goes with the flow, and, you know, he's just out for popular votes. But, yeah, he is calling for a one-world regime, a one-world united frontier, basically a global planetary regime. Now, what was interesting is just several weeks ago on June 18th, and this was a really unprecedented move, the Pope put his moral authority behind a radical environmental agenda of the UN when he issued a environmental encyclical. Now, that's basically a very traditional letter. It doesn't come out very often, but he's just basically saying, hey, listen up, 1.2 billion Catholics on the planet. You better bow down to Mother Gaia and do it and like it. I mean, it's really stunning. He had a 184-page papal encyclical called Our Common Home. So, of course, it's always, you know, under the guise of this moral imperative, the common good. You know, it's unbelievable. And he says in there that we are witnessing a disturbing warming of the earth. Well, it hasn't warmed in 18 years, despite Al Gore saying, of course, you know, the climate is in a crisis. It used to be climate change. It was global warming. Then it was climate disruption. Now it's a climate catastrophe, he said on Jimmy Fallon just several months ago. So we're in a climate catastrophe, but he doesn't ever want to debate. The debate is over. The science is settled. Well, what debate? We never had a debate, and science is never settled. So, you know, it's just unbelievable that these hucksters are all involved in this. The Pope, Al Gore, the bureaucrats, Obama administration, or as I call the jihadist in chief at the slaughterhouse. It's unbelievable, really.
Well, actually, there's a lot of money to be made with this green agenda. It's all about controlling people. If you can control, you know, how much gasoline you're allowed to use, how much, you know, electricity you're allowed to use. I mean, that really gets it down to where everything is under complete and utter control, which is part of the agenda, where people are taxed for their breathing, for how many children they have. I mean, it's insane, the agenda.
Well, it's really actually very much a depopulation agenda. It's a very cunning mixture of paganism and eugenics and depopulation. I mean, they're an astounding amount of money, Lisa, that's flowing into the green coffers in green energy and alternative energy, climate research, aka global stimulus. I mean, HSBC said in 2010 that $97 billion, that's close to $100 billion, was spent on green stimulus globally. So, you know, it's quite shocking when you really get into the nitty-gritty of what these people are raking in, going green and, you know, running around saving the planet. And it's quite interesting that people are so duped into, you know, because of course it sounds good, eco-friendly and sustainability, it sounds good unless you actually scratch the surface on what this really is. But again, it's always masqueraded in a very benevolent way, but it's really very malevolent.
Well, actually, I mean, let's take a look at this. If they were so concerned about the environment, would they really be allowing sodium fluoride to be put into our drinking water when they know that it's a poison that's so dangerous that would kill everything in sight? It's so dangerous, it's $5,000 a barrel to bury in the ground, but yet they allow it to be put into our drinking water. What about GMOs, where the pollen is going into the environment and poisoning other crops and killing bee populations and everything else? I mean, they're not concerned about the environment, just like they're not concerned about our teeth. You know, there's a monetary agenda behind everything. The monetary agenda behind the fluoride is that rather than paying to have toxic waste buried, they can sell it as a product and dilute it enough to where the effects of it are bioaccumulative. And then you've got GMOs where it's the same thing. It's not immediate effects. It's making people sicker. But Monsanto and Syngenta are making tons and tons of money off of patenting life that God created. And, you know, it's not that I'm against the environment. I actually would love for them to stop fracking. I would love for the GMOs to cease. I would love for them to stop putting fluoride in the water. You know, I'd love for there to be a moratorium against chemtrails in the air. You know, these are the things that would make a huge impact on our environment. But instead, what we're doing is focusing on other issues that have to do with controlling people. And that's exactly what the Green Agenda is all about. And I'm so glad that you took the time to write a book on it.
Well, you're right. I mean, we really have these GMO frankenfoods and fluoride and pharmaceutical runoff and God knows what in our water supply and the insidious chemtrails. And, of course, now they're even talking about Morgellons disease being caused by chemtrails. That's a whole topic on its own. I mean, this has never been about the environment. I mean, it's one thing to be a good steward of God's creation, but they've turned this into a very pagan, pantheistic religion where you're bowing down to Mother Gaia. Mother Gaia will look no further than your Starbucks coffee cup. You know, Mother Earth, the great goddess Gaia, Mother Gaia, it's all the same thing. They want you to have less rights than a rock. They believe, Al Gore says this in his book, Earth and the Balance, the earth is a living, breathing, sentient being, and we need to be bowing down to Mother Earth. Well, you know, the number one commandment is, do not have any gods before me, no idolatry. This is a very pagan, pantheistic, ancient form of idolatry that was around the time of Nimrod and the Amorites, the Moabites, and all those ites at the time of Moses and before. And this really is embedded in those ancient cults back in the Babylonian, the Grecian, the Roman empires. And so again, you know, we've fused all this eclectic mishmash into what we think today is under the guise of saving the planet. And I mean, what a absolutely incredibly, you know, mastermindful trick to take the very air we breathe and hijack it. I mean, they've demonized CO2. The EPA got CO2, which we breathe out, classified as a deadly pollutant, a harmful substance. And how they pulled that off is, you know, how do they do that with the very God-given necessary byproduct for life on this planet? You know, how do they demonize CO2? I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's all about an agenda. It's like, okay, what can they make money from and gain power from? And then that's, you know, if you follow the money trail and you look at the power that's accumulated. And I wanted to speak to also, the science behind this, because I've heard from several people, oh, the science is there. It's not. It's a theory, and basically it's very, very sloppy science, and there's great minds, great scientific minds that are out there on the opposite end of the spectrum, but of course they have been hushed, you know, by the public media. They're not given the airtime. It's just like fluoride or anything else that's going on. There's basically a veil covering the truth and you have to dig deeper and find it for yourself. But no, there's plenty of science that contradicts all of their the global warming models, and it's there if you look again. And you know, it's like anything else, Sheila, that we're looking at the New World Order, that scientists that are doing the right thing and following the truth and trying to present it are blacklisted. They lose their jobs, they're discredited, they're unemployable. And so because of this, it's a complete and utter control of the people, you know, who are out there saying that they have the science behind it. If you're trying to prove, science should not be biased. Science is supposed to be critical thinking, where there's no predestined conclusion in mind. You're not supposed to have the conclusion in mind and then wrap the science around it. You're supposed to explore all possibilities and go where that may. That's not what's happening with science anymore. They're basically controlling scientists and killing off the ones, or just basically destroying the reputations of the ones that are doing outside of the spectrum of what they want for their power structure. So I think it's really important we talk about these things.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. United Nations IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, really is the driving force behind this anthropogenic, which is just a fancy word for man-made, global warming. They have a very small cabal of bought and paid for scientists who have cooked the books in the past. Look at the 1,000 emails that were leaked out of the East Anglia University that showed this climatological, it was the Michael Mann hockey stick. I mean, that thing was absolutely, you know, they were trying to get rid of the medieval warming period. So you've got a chairman of the IPCC who was a railway engineer, Rajendra Pachura. He had no science background, and this is what Obama is calling the gold standard of climate science. This guy's a railway engineer. You know, so the deniers are silenced. Anybody that comes out against it, I mean, they're vilified, because we now have people, I mean, just anybody can look this up. There's actually, in fact, Al Gore's pal, Naomi Oreskes, she's an affiliate professor of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Harvard. She likes the idea of having climate deniers prosecuted under RICO Act. I mean, that's a Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organizations Act. That's for mobsters. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what they're doing to try to shut the mouths of these dissenting scientists, you know, like especially Dr. Timothy Ball, renowned climatologist who wrote the foreword to my book. I mean, they've come after him and even sued him for being a climate denier. I am hailed as a climate criminal now. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure that won't stop you.
Well, it won't stop me, but I'll tell you, they make it hard for people to really speak out. I mean, of course, we know that we're being good old NSA. I mean, they're spying on everything. We're being hacked, tracked, and attacked daily. I mean, it's just full spectrum dominance. Aldous Huxley would have salivated at what's going on today. And it's hard to believe, because every day is like living, you know, forget George Orwell's 1984. I mean, that's a dystopic novel from the 40s, but it's like our newspapers are like that. You know, it's that book is playing out like a newspaper. So it's very incredible how far we've come in society, that we're being duped into this very pagan green agenda. And the sad thing is, its tentacles are infused everywhere. I mean, just, you know, people that are walking around with their little recycling bags, and they're running around saving the planet, and they want windmills. And, you know, Europe shut them down. These windmills are a farce. They're just absolutely, they're gutless, they're useless, and they shut them down in Europe. And yet, you know, why are we putting these things up? They don't work. They've scrapped them in a lot of different countries. And yet Obama keeps saying, you know, we've got to get this global climate change under control. And he always says carbon pollution. I love how the guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. Carbon is different than CO2. Carbon is a rock. So carbon pollution, these guys can't even get their own rhetoric right. So I just get a kick of how Obama keeps saying, you know, we've got to get this runaway global warming intact. Well, the only place on the planet where there's runaway global warming is in the IPCC computer models. And again, I bring that up in my book that I bring that out in my book that they cooked the books on it, and they got rid of the, you know, they got Michael Mann in a, I mean, this was wizardry, a real math-crunching, stupefying formula. He came up with this hockey stick, and I talk about this in my book, where the blade protruded up, but when two fellas tried to go back and get his data, he said basically the dog ate it, you know, oh, don't know where that came from. I don't know how I came up with this model, basically, is what he said. And so they really held him to task to say, listen, we want the data that you fed into this to produce this hockey stick that, you know, it basically shows that there's a warming trend, but, you know, like I said, the dog ate it. So they went back and they finally got a judge to order them to get the data. And when they looked at it, they punched in a bunch of numbers, and it didn't matter, Lisa, what kind of numbers they fed into this formula, it produced a hockey stick every time they punched in any numbers. So, you know, it's just so insidious.
It is. And it's basically controlling everything in every area. It's not just, you know, the green police, it's everything else. The thing that bothers me about it, Sheila, is you've got well-meaning people. And, you know, I've got friends who are liberals, and I've got friends who are conservatives. I've got friends on both sides of the spectrum with different beliefs. And there's things that I respect about both sides. For example, one of the things that I love about liberals is they're the boots on the ground. I mean, I've done protests, and they're usually the ones out there with the signs picketing and, you know, really trying their best to change and putting the effort into it. I've seen them, you know, rally against GMOs and against fluoride, and I just honor them for that, you know. And then there's things like this, where she talked to a liberal about climate change, and they're, oh, yeah, we need to, you know, we really need to stop the all the pollution and da-da-da-da. It's not about pollution. It was never about pollution. It's about control and taxation, money. And when you look at the agendas and you look at the money players behind it, to me, the obvious thing is, if you've got major corporations and the government rallying behind something, then there's obviously some sort of motive, you know, that benefits them. They're not going to rally for something publicly for no reason. They never have and they never will. To me, that's the obvious indicator.
Well, and it's amazing how many, again, you know, people are calling it. I mean, remember what Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will buy into it, and it's a lucky thing that people don't think. Well, you know, that's true, because everybody keeps chanting this mantra of planetary emergency of global warming. I mean, look at Al Gore. I mean, he still is spewing this nonsensical, you know, plethora of stuff that he's saying that, you know, his predictions have never come true. He said that we'd all be underwater by 2009. I mean, every single, he said that polar bears would be wiped out. You know, it's funny to me, he said sea levels would rise, and then, of course, he buys a 14,000 square foot oceanfront property in San Francisco Bay, and he had the biggest carbon footprint of all people on the planet. And, you know, so it's just, it's such absolute hypocrisy. All these people actually in the circles, they know it's a scam, but hey, they're raking in the lucre, so what do they care? But you know, you're right. I mean, the thing and why I wrote the book is because that's just it, Lisa, that there are good meaning people that are duped by this very insidious agenda, and especially Christians that are, you know, I see churches now, they're going green. And if churches really understood what this was, I mean, they would absolutely never buy into this scam. Good old Rick Warren, Mr. Chrislam himself, he is the pastor of Saddleback Church there. He is a member of the CFR, and he came up with this, and it's stunning. People can look this up, Evangelical Climate Initiative. So he's really jumping on board with this, and what he doesn't, well, maybe he does know this and he doesn't care. This is a cunning mixture of science, paganism, eugenics, Eastern mysticism, and feminism that has made this pagan green cult of environmentalism the fastest growing religion on the planet. And that's what Christians have to understand, is we're at war and we don't even know it, because it's under the guise of eco-friendly and sustainability. So, you know, again, seemingly very benevolent, right?
Well, and I have to say, yes, I agree with everything you said, but I have to say that I'm not against being more self-sustainable, because, well, for the main factor of I want to be off the grid. I eventually want to be completely out of the control of the government. I don't like being, forced to pay utilities every single month. I would love to have a well and solar and everything else. So, for me, it's more a matter of freedom, and being out of that control. And I'm not against, for example, I think, eating organic is smart because you're not poisoning the environment. So it's not that all of it's evil. It's like anything else, Sheila. In the Bible, it talks about the unmixed core of the truth, where they take part of a lie and part of the truth and they mix it in. And people are like, oh, well, I see the truth. I see that truth part, so it all must be true. And that's the greatest way to deceive people.
Well, the thing is, when men start worshiping the creation rather than the creator, we see even in the Bible that the wrath of God was revealed. And obviously, societies began to turn from the truth of the creation and worship nature. Now, this whole very deceptive religion, I mean, it's very evident. We have dominion over the earth. And of course, again, we all have a vested interest in the earth being a functioning earth. But again, the earth is still under God's benevolent control. And that's the thing, is this pagan agenda is not even about saving the environment at all. The issue never was the issue. It's really about, it's about depopulation, it's about eradicating Christianity, and it's about a one-world planetary regime. And that's, in fact, what the Pope just called for in this encyclical. And he wrote this, had his science team write this back in April, and people can look this up. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences released a document called The Common Good. There's that word again, the common good, the moral imperative. It's the common good of man. Well, they wrote a document, and they're calling for a vast, profound reorientation of every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. I mean, that is very insidious when you think about that, very nefarious. And of course, he's calling for, in his encyclical, we need a planetary regime. That's what Al Gore called for in his book, Earth in the Balance. That's what Alice Bailey, who wrote about the New World Order in her 24 occultic books, I mean, she was a real self-professed Satanist. She called for a world global regime. It's always the same rhetoric, the one world regime, right? And of course, that's what the Pope's calling for now. He wants a one world planetary global regime. It's all the same. It's everything woven into this mantra of saving the planet. And it's just, who would have thought they'd taken the ultimate, they'd hijacked the ultimate handle, the very air we breathe. I mean, even Karl Marx would salivate at the idea of turning junk pseudoscience into some kind of an environmentalism religion. So it is really the green gospel. That's what we're looking at. It's become a new religion.
Yeah, I really like the title of your book. I was like, yeah. For those in the know, that's pretty apropos. So tell us, Sheila, I'm interested in your syndication and your shows. Why don't you let the folks listening know where to follow you?
Well, my website is weekendvigilante.com, and I broadcast, a daily show, so weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and it broadcasts off my website, and it broadcasts off worldwide Christian radio, as well as we're on shortwave on WINB, so, we're starting to get picked up by a lot of different networks. We're on Life 103.5 out of Ontario, too, so the show is getting picked up. It's gaining quite an audience, and we talk about all this stuff. I talk about totalitarianism, Marxism, eugenics. I talk about this one world order under the guise of sort of a end time biblical prophecy, kind of like a watchwoman. But also, we're covering the news headlines, breaking down breaking news. But really also our guests also have this platform where we get into the deeper things of God too. Because ultimately, the only thing that can really help in all of this is people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's nothing else that's going to, all other roads are dead ends. And so, there's a lot of truthers out there that believe, well, I believe in evil, but let's call it what it really is. There's Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. And we're deep in the end days, I believe, and it's really time for, I believe, people to get right with God, because we're not even in the birth pangs anymore. I believe that the black cloud is now above us. This is not a drill. There, I mean, look what's happening in this sodomite agenda. The president had the blinking colors of the, you know, this rainbow flag, and I thought, oh yeah, that's really wise. I thought, take God's symbol from the last time he destroyed the earth and wave it around as the symbol of your sin. That's a great idea. I'm just going to take cover. You know, it's amazing. We're getting rid of the Confederate flag and spitting on the, you know, the U.S. flag and shredding the Bible and the Constitution. That's all normal, but we're embracing all this debauchery, and I think it's just absolutely mind-numbing.
I, for one, I don't really care about flags. I mean, any of them, because to me, it's just a symbol. However, you know, what I do care about is the fact that, you know, instead of the Ten Commandments being, you know, readily available at courthouses and stuff, now they're putting up, you know, statues of Baphomet. And it's crazy to me how far we've ventured away from God. And, you know, from what I understand, a lot of our founding fathers, I mean, I understand that some of them were Freemasons, but a lot of them, from what I understand, were also Christian. And a lot of the principles of the Constitution were based on Christianity. And I'm not saying that we have to be all Christians, but however, that is a part of our history. It's a part of what our founding principles were all about. And I think that we're really doing a huge disservice to ourselves as a country to walk away from those ideals. I really do. I think it's a shame that, you know, people are now being forced to, for example, the bakers didn't want to make the cake for the gay couple. Well, I can understand that. I mean, hell, if I had that business, I probably wouldn't want to do it either. I'd probably say, look, you know, I love you and I care about you as a person. However, I just don't want to support this. This is not something that's against my beliefs. And I don't think the Supreme Court should force somebody to do that. From what I understand, they put a lien against these people's house now. It's like, if you don't follow this agenda, you're going to lose everything. Everything.
Oh, I totally agree. The American church is totally full-out apostate, and it's really responsible for the dung heap that we're in because, you know, look at these pulpits. I mean, one of the most mind-numbing things to me is how are pastors in America so remiss in not preaching the Word of God? They're spewing out these doctrines of demons, seducing spirits. I mean, they're telling people, hey, just name it and claim it, just like Creflo Dollar Bill and his jet there. You know, it's okay for these sinister Planned Parenthood demons to sell baby parts for the highest price. I mean, that is so absolutely, I can't even wrap my head around these videos that have come out. But I mean, I talk about Planned Parenthood in my book. I talk about how Margaret Sanger, the founder, she was all for putting sterilants in the water and forced sterilants. And, you know, the best thing a family can do to its infant child is to kill it. That's on quote. She said that at a 1974 meeting at the UN. I mean, it's just, it is so diabolical what's going on. And yet, where are the pastors? Why aren't the pastors in an uproar? Why aren't they descending on D.C. like a swarm of mad locusts? But no, instead it's crickets chirping from the pulpit. And again, this is not a drill. I mean, it's time to get off the fence, get one foot out of the world and one foot. I mean, quit being a carnal Christian, you know, your heart full of the world, dabbling in sin. People are going to suffer greatly unless they do repent. So I just can't say enough about that, Lisa.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the 501c3. You know, you sit there and you give over your organization to the government. Basically, you're saying, okay, you, the government, are in control of our organization. And in exchange for your tax benefit, you know, you can tell us what we can and can't talk about. Bullshit. Bullshit. Those churches are all wrong for doing that. They're wrong.
Well, the 501c3, they've even got clergy response teams now where they're going to, you know, it's unbelievable what they're doing. And these 501c3 churches, I mean, you take that tax-exempt status, you take the rules. So you don't preach about abortion. You don't preach on the sodomite agenda. You're going to preach what they tell you to, or you're going to lose that tax exemption status. So, you know, that is just unbelievable. And we talk about the separation of the church and state, and, you know, we know what's going on. And so that's why it's great that people like Chuck Baldwin, people can go to Chuck Baldwin online and look at that Liberty Church project, because they are starting these non-501c3 churches, which are so great, because, again, they're going to start padlocking churches that don't go along with their agenda. You better start preaching on the green agenda and the sodomite agenda and everything else. You'll do it and like it, or else guess what? Well, then you're not going to be a 501c3 church. Of course, the IRS is lockstep in that, coming against. Of course, we saw Pastor Kent Hovind, absolute, just blatant, egregious persecution. He spent 10 years in federal prison, you know, over structuring. And when you really look at that, I mean, it's just, it's amazing what the IRS can get away with. So, yeah, it's really important that people are really questioning these 501c3 churches, absolutely.
Sheila, what do you think about this transgender thing with Bruce Jenner being a hero? He's a hero. He's looked at as a hero right now.
Well, I call him transgender. But, I mean, the point is that it's Bruce. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's Bruce. And the fact that he is so deceived and duped, and I quite frankly feel sorry for the man. I mean, under a strong delusion, he's obviously been given over to a reprobate mind to think that, you know, he's born with a penis. That means he's a male. There's no other way to slice that, folks. If you're born with certain body parts, get over it. You know, this I'm going to become, I think I'm going to become a black man, Lisa. I think I'm feeling trans something. But, I mean, look at transhumanism. We've got transgender. We've now got trans-abled. There's now a sick movement that's going on, a real twisted, debaucherous movement where people are sawing off their body parts because they just don't feel connected with their body parts. And I'm not talking about the ones Bruce Jenner is getting changed. But I mean, it's just, you know, this is all, you know, it's very demonic. That's what we're under. We're under, you know, and Jesus says that, right? We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting principalities, Paul tells us. So it's powers and rulers of the air. So who's ruling right now? Satan. And so if people are not getting that, Lisa, I mean, I don't know when they'll start to get it, because we see things that you can't even make up. I mean, this is Caligula-level craziness meets George Orwell. 1984, and it's going to ramp up. Like, this is just the start of it. So, I mean, I just hope people can snap out of their dystopic trance in time to really do something about this.
You know what I find so odd is, you know, like I said, I see the liberals that I respect for so many things that they're doing as far as fighting, and they get fooled by the green agenda, and they get fooled by, you know, wanting more and more government programs. And it's like you're fighting, I don't understand the disconnect. You're fighting the government constantly because they're overreach of power, and yet you want more of it. You want more government to fight for your future generations when it's not working in the first place. I mean, the whole thing's just spiraling out of control. It reminds me, you and I are both Christians, but it reminds me, I think it's in 1 Samuel 8 where Israel demanded a king. And God was like, hey, you guys don't want a king, trust me. They're going to steal your daughters, they're going to steal your land, they're going to, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And Israel's like, we want a king, we want a king, we want to be like other countries. You're going to lose everything. Don't do it, don't do it. And yet they persisted. And so God told the prophet, all right, fine, you know, they want a king, give it to them. That's what they want, that's what they're going to get. And I see that's what we have now, is we, I don't know if it's laziness, or what is it in the human nature where we just feel like we have to have people ruling over us, and we have to be governed, and we have to, like, force other people to do what we want them to do. I look at the Ten Commandments as a guideline. I think that, you know, God always had judges. He always had, you know, rules. It's not that, I'm not talking about a lawless society. I'm talking about more of like a judicial system that's based on the Ten Commandments. That's what we need to get back to. It's out of control, you know, and I think it's purposely set out of control. If you look at the Georgia Guidestones, one of the tenets of the Georgia Guidestones is we don't need all these useless laws. That tells me they know that they're going to make it crazy with all these laws to where we're choking on it. So when they come in with the New World Order, with their new little world leader, you know, new monetary system, the whole new plans laid out, they're going to say, oh, we don't need all these useless laws. And everyone's going to say, hooray, let's embrace this.
Well, it's amazing how many people are pushing the depopulation. It's not, I mean, those stones were erected in Georgia in a little community back in 1980. And of course it says, you know, 500,000 maintaining the perpetual balance of humanity. Well, what happened to the other 6 billion people? And Ted Turner is always spewing, well, you know, perfect population be about 250 to 500 million people. Well, again, you know, that's a far cry from 7 billion people. And you've got Prince Philip and these other very, you know, I was these British royal inbred maniacs always saying, well, you know, I wish I could come back as a deadly virus to wipe out the Earth's population. Well, why don't we start with you, Prince Philip, and Ted Turner and Slick Billy Gates can go. I mean, God has destroyed nations that have turned away from him in the past, Lisa. So what's to make people think that, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? So when you take God out of everything, and it's also the frog in the water being acclimated to the debauchery too, because you mentioned the disconnect. You don't know if it's laziness. Well, I think there's a normalcy bias, but there's also bystander apathy and cognitive dissonance. And I guess the point is that everything we see, and we're getting pummeled on all fronts on everything, but it's all carefully crafted stage of manipulation. It's like these players are all orchestrated. I mean, you know, you got to remember that this stuff is all, I mean, history repeats itself, right? And so we saw what the people did at the time of the Third Reich when Nazi came into power. This is exactly what they were saying. Well, I don't know about this. But again, people are just in this dystopic fog, and they don't really, and then of course there's mind control going on, and you know, we're being inundated with MK Ultra and subliminal messaging, and very creative, clever people are manipulating brainwaves. And look at when you watch your TV with these new HD TVs, they put you in the alpha beta wave state. I mean, there's just so many things going on, and again, we're just getting pummeled on all fronts.
I look at it as a network, a web over every aspect of society. And I, you know, me fighting in the court systems, I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it where they are basically, you know, okay, so here's what's going on with foreclosure law. Here's what's going on with the probate. Here's what's going on with CPS. Here's what's going on with, and you see how laws and rules were put into place to circumvent the rights of the people. And we're literally living in the feudal system all over again, but we think we're free. There is a pervasive illusion of freedom because we can choose Pepsi or Coke. And I think that people are starting to snap out of that because they're starting to realize, you know, when you get enough people whose kids are taken from them, you get enough people whose land is taken from them, you get enough people that are, you know, in some way disappointed or violated by the system, it changes you. You become a victim and you stop believing, you stop trusting. I think that's why there's been such a trend, you know, of people who now believe that 9/11, there's something fishy there. The majority now believes that. And I think that's why there's a rising trend towards libertarianism and, you know, all these other things. So there is an awakening going on. But I agree with you, Sheila. I think that, you know, outside of politics, it's really a spiritual matter. And it's really important in these last days to get our relationship with God right, to see what the Bible says about all this stuff, because it's all been forecasted, and to get with the real power, the power that they're afraid of, the power that they're trying to turn down and disseminate, which is actually Christianity.
Well, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, you had your big court case, and of course, you know, when is Joe Sixpack or John Lunchbox Carrier going to go up against these huge mega corporations? But, you know, the awakening might be happening, but it doesn't really seem to matter. These guys are not even, when I say these guys, these globalists, the Illuminists, these Satanists, they're not even doing things clandestinely anymore. They're just more in your face. They're more blatant. I mean, look at the debauchery that's happening even in the movie theaters. Like, I just cannot believe every single show that you see now is just infused with all this stuff. I mean, it's just absolute predictive programming, and you see they're getting more blatant. They're getting more in your face. They're just outright coming at us on every angle. So I think, you know, you've made some really good points, but it's one thing to wake up, but it's also another thing to do something about it as well. And you're right. I mean, people have got to understand that this is a spiritual battle. Jesus said in the book that in the Bible, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. Well, he said my people, not the Satanists, not the Kabbalists, not the Illuminists. He said my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. So it's really important that people understand what is going on and, you know, make some connections here, because again, there's so many people that you go ask your neighbor about the Trans-Pacific Partnership or Jade Helm, and they'll just look at you with a glazed look. They don't get it, you know?
What would you say, there's a lot of disillusioned people, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, maybe that they were molested as children in the Catholic Church, or maybe they've discovered, become awake about all the government problems, and so they started also looking at religion as a problem and manufactured by men. What would you say to people who believe that the Bible is manufactured by men and has no validity?
Well, I think the Bible is actually, on the contrary, is the most valid book ever. In fact, you know, it was written over the course of 3,000 some years. It was written, well, 66 books written by many, many authors who are not even alive at the time others wrote it, and it's all very succinct, but it's got the most incredible track record ever. Every single prophecy it predicted has come to pass, and the ones that haven't will be. And so even if people look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24, the signs that are going to be happening, I mean, Bible prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes. And I think there's, you know, people out there that are finally starting to get with the program and realize, wow, this stuff is all predicted in the Bible. So, you know, come on, let's get with the program. Is that all just a coincidence? I mean, people will acknowledge, again, in the truther movement, they'll acknowledge evil, but they won't acknowledge the source of evil. And that's what is always so kind of ironic to me is, you know, they'll acknowledge everything but a divine creator, God Almighty, who sent his son to pay the tab for your sin at Calvary. You know, that's the same. It's the same mentality as these people out there that say, oh, you know, GMOs are bad, but, oh, chemtrails, come on, guys. I mean, chemtrails, get with, you know, your little bit of a conspiracy tinfoil hat-wearing kook there that's talking about these chemtrails. I mean, why would they spray chemtrails? They've got to live here, too. I mean, I hear the most, again, it's normalcy bias, it's cognitive dissonance, it's just people are in a fog, and I don't know what it's going to take to snap people out of that. Maybe it will be the coming economic crises, because what will people do, Lisa, when they go to the ATM machine to get out money and there's nothing in their bank account? So that might be one thing. There's going to be probably a lot of things that snap people out of their trance, but I think the economic meltdown will be one that'll start getting people's attention for sure. But what do I say to those people? Well, you know, it's not our job to argue with people. We can only try to lead people to the truth. We're supposed to be the salt and the light, and we are supposed to wake people up. And Jesus said, occupy until he comes, not sit around and sing kumbaya and, you know, just have a little group hug while Rome burns around us. We're supposed to be doing things actively. And so, you know, I'm doing the Lord's work, and I really believe that, you know, you're doing the Lord's work, and I believe we just have to do what we're called to do. And, you know, we're only accountable to God. We're not going to stand before the throne of God and bring our lawyer or our husband or our wives or anybody else. We all have to stand alone and give an accounting. So I think it's just important. What are you going to do? All you really get in this lifetime, Lisa, is a dash between two dates on your tombstone. What are you going to do with your dash? I think you should start living for the Lord.
Right. Well, the way I look at it is the Bible mandates that we rescue the oppressed and uphold the cause of the needy and the homeless and the poor. You know, and that's what I feel like I've done in the court system. You know, that I'm not just fighting for myself, but I'm fighting for the oppressed. And we're all very oppressed right now. And that's kind of been my you know, battle cry. And, you know, my calling in this whole thing and fighting fraud and corruption is that I feel that I am doing what the Bible says to do, which is upholding the cause of the widow and the orphan and the homeless and the poor. And there's different ways of doing that. We're all, you know, we all have different parts, you know, that we have, that God has given to each of us, different strengths and different, you know, missions in life. And not one thing is better than the other. It's like an arm telling a leg, well, you know, you're not an arm, you know. So it doesn't matter. You know, everybody's different and everybody's equally important, and we work together as a body. And I think in society we need to start becoming more like that as well, where we start reaching out to our neighbors and actually loving them and caring about them, you know. And you know, for example, Sheila, we've said some things that obviously are going to be upsetting to some people about, you know, homosexuality and so on and so forth. And the way I always put it on my page when I'm talking about these things is, look, God loves you. I love you. Because I love you, I will speak the truth. But when people don't tell you the truth, they're actually harming you. And I'm here for you. I'll walk you through all this. I'm not judging you. That's not my job. And I think that more Christians need to take that stance where indeed we do stand for righteousness, but however we walk in love when we do it. Because nobody wants to be talked down to or felt like they're lesser than. Of course they're going to put up walls and walk away. The people who, you know, will trust you and want to listen to what you have to say are the ones that feel that you genuinely mean it and you genuinely care. And I think that's another disconnect that we have with the modern day Christian is just getting too, I'm not saying to not stand for the truth, but to not be judgmental in how you do it, to be loving and kind as best you can, because in the people's souls are the most important thing. And that's why Jesus came here in the first place, is for every person, every person.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus did say, you know, that's how you would identify there will be true love. And of course, love is also telling the truth. And it's too bad people don't want to hear the truth. It's like the movie line from A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Well, most people actually say they want truth, but they really don't. And the truth does set people free. And I think that, you know, we are living in a time now where people just, you know, it's not okay anymore to be politically correct and, you know, let's not offend anybody. I'm way beyond that. I mean, if people are offended, oh, well, so be it. I mean, people ought to get a little more in an uproar about these Planned Parenthood and all the abortions going on in our country, but, oh, they'll get offended at the dumbest things. And so, you know, if people want to be numbed and dumbed and living in their dystopic trance, well, that's one thing, but we've also got a due diligence to vocalize the truth. And, you know, we are also responsible for our behavior. We do have to try to be loving. And I always say the best sermons aren't preached, they're lived. And, you know, but I've got a newsflash for folks. There's a mighty storm bearing down, and the only ones that will withstand God's fury are the ones that are really his true servants. So, I mean, if it hasn't been, there's never been another time in history, I don't think, where people really should get right with God, Lisa, because that's the bottom line. Now is the time to repent, not next week, next year. It's time to quit being one of these carnal Christians and, again, superficial carnal people, go to church once a week and then they're spewing all the drudgery all, you know, the other 6 days a week. If your heart is really not in a good place and you're dabbling in sin, well, you're going to suffer, and that's really the truth. So if it offends people, I guess so be it.
Right. That's true as well. I mean, there is a certain responsibility that comes with saying that you're a Christian, that the biggest problem we have in reaching out to others is them looking at us and saying, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. So, of course, we have to do our best to be the light and, you know, not take part of darkness as best we can. Of course, we're all flawed and human. That's not an excuse. But we do fall, and when we do, it's important, I think, to also come out and you know, redeem yourself in front of the you know, your peers and say, you know, I'm sorry, I failed, and I'm working on this, and this is my weakness. Keep me in your prayers. So it's all about love. You know, if we would just stop love, you know, judging each other, and we all start loving each other, and not again, and I have to repeat this again and again, because I'm not one of those people who's like all about love and no truth and no judgment, because it's just not the way God is. He's balanced, right?
Well, I think what happens is people misquote the whole judging thing. Oh, they love that scripture, especially the atheists. Don't judge. You're not supposed to judge. But the bottom line is actually God's people are to judge. And, of course, that's after you've removed the sin out of your own life. He talks about being a hypocrite, is to take the plank out of your own eye before you try to remove the sliver out of someone else's. When you clean up the sin in your life, then yeah, okay, that's fair enough. But, you know, people throw around that, don't judge, but really, that, you know, they don't know their Bible, they don't know the Word, there's a famine in the land for the Word of God, and that's a sad thing because, again, these pulpits are spewing out absolute nonsense. You know, again, it's just God is some skybound wish-granting genie. He's a vending machine. You know, we better just name it and claim it. And that's not God. I mean, God is a holy God. He's a righteous God, and he's a judging God. So, you know, the bottom line is people just got to get in their Word. And I think the biggest thing is for people just to pray and ask God, hey, what's my calling? What do you want me to do? How can I be obedient? And humility is a big thing, too. I mean, I think what you mentioned there is humility is really important, as well as being obedient to what you're put on this earth to do, because everyone does have a purpose, and, you know, it's time to find out. So I would just, you know, recommend that your listeners, if they're serious about wanting the deeper things of God, well, get on your knees and pray and ask God to reveal his plan for your life, and then start doing it. Do something for God, because, again, what are you going to do with that dash, right?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, I understand that we're all feeling oppressed. We're all feeling, you know, the burden of working two jobs or three jobs or whatever it else in today's society. The way it's set up with all of the taxes and oppression and so much government, it makes it hard to focus on the things that really matter and have the time and energy for things that really matter, like your alone time with God, like your prayer time, like your family, you know. And we all tend to want to escape into something, whether it's sports or television or whatever, because we're just plain exhausted. Well, the truth of the matter is that's a trap, and we have to really be on guard, because like you said, we're each man is allotted a certain amount of days to be on this earth. And you have a legacy. You have a legacy that you're leaving behind to your family and to your friends. What is your legacy? What is it that they're going to say about you? He really liked watching Prince, or he was a great guy. He went over to his next door neighbor's house and took care of their mother when they were sick and visited them in the hospital or mowed their lawn or shoveled their snow or whatever. The things that we do in this life and say and the way that we treat others is our legacy. And that's the most important thing. So thank you so much, Sheila. Again, if you'll let the people know again how to start listening into your shows and maybe purchase your book. Tell us a little bit about all that again.
Yeah, so the book is available at the website, which is greengospel.ca. People can, there's a direct link there to amazon.com. And, of course, it talks about the book. And Steve Quayle, Dr. Thomas Horn, Paul McGuire, and Christopher C. Horner, the New York Times bestselling author of Red Hot Lies. He actually gave the book a review as well as, so those are four reviews. People can check those out, and as well as a little bit of information about the book, and they can get a copy, and it's really reasonably priced. They wanted to sell it at $39.95, and I asked them to sell it for $29.95. So it's very, you know, it's 4 years of work into my book, and I think people will be quite astonished at the information in it. So I do hope people get the book and support my work. And of course, they can listen to the show. Just bookmark weekendvigilante.com. And again, 6 p.m. Eastern time is my daily show. So it's broadcast off Worldwide Christian Radio. And again, so there's apps and there's a bunch of different ways to listen, and all that information is on my website as well. So I have great guests, great topics, and you know, we do really try to cover the guests that people want on the show. So we really try to cater to the audience. And I think it's a pretty good show. And, of course, you and I go way back to my days with Freedomizer, which is, that just seems like eons ago.
That's how Sheila and I met. We both had radio shows on Freedomizer Radio. And anyway, we ended up both going our separate ways for various reasons. But that was our start in getting to know each other, and it was just such a honor and a privilege to meet another Christian who's awake. You know, it's so many people out there are awake, and because they're so open, because they've been deceived in one area, they start straying off into areas that really are untrue, and it's sad, and I feel so bad about it, and I hate to see it. But I'm glad to see someone like you, Sheila, out there and standing up for God, for Jesus, for righteousness. And I really appreciate your ministry and what you do. I'd love to have you on the show again.
Thank you. And it'd be my pleasure. And it was my pleasure to come on with you, Lisa. And it's always wonderful again to connect with you. Of course, you've been a good friend. And it's just so amazing that, you know, years ago, we actually even talked about doing our own show, Politics, and it was so funny. But we've had a lot of, you know, we've been through some valleys and, you know, come back out on the mountain. And I'm just really glad to see that you're continuing on in Truth Emerges, because it's important work, and I think it's a real blessing to be on your show. And thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you so much. Sheila Zielinski, everybody, check her out. Thank you so much for tuning in today to the Truth Train with Liberty Lisa.